The Bible teaches the sovereignty of God, His absolute power over His creation. There is a story in the book of Isaiah and also Jeremiah about the potter and the clay. The clay is complaining and questioning the potter. Why did you make me like this? But the clay has no right to question the potter. He has full authority over the clay. Imagine if the grass that you planted would tell you one day, you have no right cutting me this way. Or the dog that you got from the pound tells you that he does not like your house where you are taking him. That would be something. Neither is it possible for us to tell God that we don't like what He is doing with us. God has the right, the power to do with us whatever He pleases, to make us whatever He wants. He is the sovereign master. He created us. He gave us life. He sustained us all these years. The picture of the potter working the pieces of clay describes God working, molding, shaping His people to what He wants them to be. It is hard for people to bow, to submit to an absolute power and authority. But the Bible also teaches the infinite love of God. It teaches that He loves us more than we can imagine, more than we can ever think. Whatever He does for us, whatever He does to us, He does through His infinite love and for our own good. We are not forced to bow to His authority, we are asked to submit to His love. Submission to authority is a very frightening thing unless I know that the one with the authority has my best interest in mind, and He loves me and He cares for me. That is not as frightening to submit. It is not as hard, because it is not hard to submit to love. We saw in our last study that the wives are to submit to their husbands. Now, when a husband expects submission from his wife, it is a very frightening thing for her. Unless she knows that he who has authority from God has her best interest in mind, that he loves her and he cares for her, then it will not be as frightening for her to submit to him. We saw that there are two sides to harmony in a marriage relationship. The wife's responsibilities and the husband's responsibilities, found in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. In our last study, we saw one side, the wife's responsibility. So today in our text, we will take the other side of the relationship, the second half of the truth, as we conclude our study about walking in harmony. I'm surprised to see many men here today. I thought they would bail out, go fishing or something. So please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We are at verse 25 as we continue where we left off last time. If you remember, the section on marriage started with being filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 18. without being filled with the Spirit, without walking in the Spirit, it will not be possible to walk in harmony, to live in harmony at home. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, the wives will be incapable to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. And without the Holy Spirit, it will not be possible for you husbands to love your wives as God wants you to love her. So verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The exhortation from God here is to husbands to love their wives. How? How is a husband to love his wife? Providing a home for her? Gave her some money? Or food? Clothes? Sex? More than just that. When men are asked if they love their wives, they have all kinds of answers. Sure I do. I married her, didn't I? Or, sure I do. I provide for her. I take her to church. Or, she has her own car. And you should see her closet. That's one type of love, but not what it means here. How are we to love our wives? The Greek word here for love is agape, because they have four different words for four different types of love. This one is an unconditional love. The type of love that is described in 1 Corinthians 13. And if you could, please turn to 1 Corinthians 13. We will read four verses there. But rather than read what it says there in the Bible, today with God's blessing, we will make a substitution. Instead of the word love, we will put there a husband. Verse 4 says, a husband suffers long and is kind. A husband does not envy. A husband does not parade itself. He is not puffed up. He does not behave rudely. He does not seek his own. He is not provoked. He thinks no evil. He does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. He bears all things. He believes all things. He hopes all things. He endures all things. A husband never fails. Now let me ask you, husband, do you love your wife? Let's close in prayer. Most husbands don't know what love is. We just read that love is a commitment. It is action. It is sacrifice. Not words only, but deeds. A wife is not to submit to the husband's authority just because he is the husband. Being the husband does not make him some kind of a king. The Bible does not demand that they submit to the husband's authority apart from love. Authority is God-given. It comes from humility. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you When he gives a position of authority, he expects the person to be humble. Authority is not something that we give ourselves or we take for ourselves. But as we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he gives us authority. Now, there are two vicious circles in a marriage relationship. There is a dangerous, vicious circle. The colder the husband is, the more independent he is, the more difficult it is for the wife to submit. She becomes rebellious. She begins to nag. She argues with everything he wants to do. The more she nags, the more she argues, the more she resists his authority, the more cold and the more independent he becomes. The colder and less loving he becomes, the more she argues and the more she resists him. It just won't quit. It is hell at home. But this dangerous circle can be turned around and replaced with a beautiful circle. The more he loves her, the easier she finds it to submit to him. The more submissive she is, the easier he finds it to show his love to her. It's very hard to cuddle up with a wild cat. If the wife is truly submissive, then the husband will feel a great responsibility for the decisions that he is making. Because these decisions will determine their future and their relationship. And he will not want to lose what he has with her. He has an investment in her. If she is not submissive and is always arguing about everything, he will not be as careful with the decisions that he makes. He will know that no matter what he decides, it's gonna be a big hassle anyhow. So what's the difference? You decide. The more the wife will yield and submit in love, the freer the husband will show his love. When she feels confident of his love, she will feel that even if he has made a wrong decision, he may make one or twice, you know. She will know that even if they lose everything, they won't lose their love. They will know that they have each other. She will feel the security of that love. There's only one problem. The problem is this. She says, I will start to submit when he starts to love me. And he says, I will love her when she starts to submit. Where does it start? Who's on first? Who do you think should go first? The women say the husband should. The men say the wife should. She stole first in the Bible. I don't want to start a big fight here this morning. But we are told in our text exactly who is supposed to go first. It says right here this morning. Husbands, it starts with you. You hold the key to your marriage. I don't think I'm going to stand at the door this morning. After that, there's too many men here. I'll run to my office today. But let's read again verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. after the exhortation to love, we have the example of love. And the example is Christ and the church. Where did it begin? How did it begin? Who went first? It began with Him. He went first. He loved her first. He gave Himself for the church, and then the church responded to His love. So it starts with you, men. She will respond to your love. Jesus laid aside His life for the needs of His bride, the church. How was she? In what condition was she? She was destitute of all worthiness. She was unworthy, undesirable, unattractive. She had no desire for Him at all. She was His enemy. And still, in that condition, He loved her. He gave Himself for her. He made the first move regardless. That's us, husband. Husband, God has appointed you leaders in your home. Leaders go first. They lead. Now, when she is having a hard time, don't say to her, "Get your act together, woman." As leaders, you help her, you teach her, you show her, you pray for her. That's loving her. Love does not behave rudely. Love bears all things, endures all things. Sorry, guys, but the responsibility rests upon you to begin the cycle. You get it rolling. Some may think, "Yeah, but if I do that, she'll walk all over me and get so independent." Don't worry about it. God takes care of His leaders. She won't walk all over you. You show her love like Christ did for the church, and you'll see that she'll melt like butter. She will be all over you, buttering you up. If you like butter. God is no fool. He knows that's the way to go. So husbands, start loving your wives. You won't regret it. The primary success or failure of the marriage lies on the shoulders of the husband. An awesome responsibility. It's time for husbands to become men and to do what God told them to do. The wife's role is entirely contingent upon the husband. If the husband does not want to do his part, there will be no marriage. Now, don't get me wrong. It is possible in certain cases for a man to love his wife and do what is right and still have a wife who wants nothing to do with him. It is possible. In that case, there is something wrong with her. She has been deceived by someone else. There are some people today who will not respond to the love of Christ, even though He loves them with a great love. Still, they do not want anything to do with Him. They have been deceived by someone else. But a normal, God-fearing woman who has a husband who loves her should have no problem submitting to him, like a normal, God-fearing man has no problem submitting to God who loves him. We are here today. We love God today because Christ showed His love to us first. We love Him because He loved us first. So men must go first. Sorry, guys. Verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Here we have more details about the kind of love. First, we saw in the latter part of verse 25 that it is a love that gives. Christ loved the church and He gave Himself for it. John 3:16, God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. Any woman would find it easier to submit to a husband she knew would die for her than to a husband she felt might sacrifice her to his fears, his lust, or his ambitions. But not only is it a love that gives, but we see here that it is a love that transforms. That destitute, unworthy, undesirable, unattractive church, because of all her sins and wickedness, is sanctified, cleansed, washed, is holy, is without spot, is without wrinkle, is without blemish. She had no desire for Him at all. She was His enemy. But that agape love that He showed her transformed her. We will never be able to change anybody. It is crazy to even try to change someone. But that agape love can transform. So husband, make sure that you love your wife. Your love is what can transform her. Verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Here we have an additional characteristic of the husband's love. It is a very special kind of love. It is not like the love of a parent to a child. It is not like the love for a friend. It is not like the love of a neighbor. He is to love his wife as himself. In marriage, two persons become one person. After God married Adam to Eve, He called their name Adam in Genesis 5:2. They were two people with one name. A bride is to give up her family name and take her husband's family name. In a sense, she loses her identity in his, like Eve. But some women have a hard time with that. They refuse to take the husband's name. They refuse to lose their identity in their husband's name. In Canada today, a woman cannot take her husband's name. She is to keep her maiden name all the days of your life. The kids at a certain age can choose the father's name or the mother's name. So you have a family with some kids who are Brown and some kids who are Jones. Same father, same mother. But some kids said, I want to take mom's name. Some kids said, oh, I want to keep dad's name. You have a chaos. This makes it difficult for the husband to love his wife as himself. He loves his name. So Bob Jones and Mary Jones is easier than Bob Jones and Mary Brown. Another thing, a husband cannot love his children more than his wife. It is an exclusive duty. The husband is to devote to his one wife all the affection of his life. How is his love to be expressed to his wife? How do you love your wife? Agape love. Several ways. Number one, in providing for her temporal support. The husband is to nourish and cherish his wife. 1 Timothy 5:8 says he is to provide for her, and if he does not, he is worse than an unbeliever. Now, not only is he to provide her support, number two, he is to care for her happiness and her pleasure. 1 Corinthians 7:33 says, he who is married is to care about how he may please his wife. He should take care of her. He should take her out sometimes. I heard a woman complain once. She said, my husband does not smoke, does not curse, does not drink, does not go out with women, including me. And a husband should go out with his wife. Budget for it. Save some money that you can go out with the wife. Have a garage sale so that you can go out with the wife. So he is to care for her happiness and her pleasure. Number three, in protecting her life, her honor, and her good name. 1 Peter 3:7 says that he must give honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. A husband should never put his wife down in front of others, especially not the kids. You big idiot, what do you think the kids will think of the mother? Protecting her life, protecting her honor, protecting her good name. That's how a husband is to love his wife. Number four, in seeking her spiritual welfare. He is to go to church with her. He is to pray with her, for her, remembering that she is an heir with him of the grace of God, the kingdom of God, 1 Peter 3:7. So he is to encourage her relationship with God and respect the relationship that she has with God. Verse 29 says, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. Now, most well-adjusted people love themselves. Love of self can be a very bad thing. But there is somehow a normal and healthy love of oneself that, if kept in its proper place, is not sinful. It's healthy. Most well-adjusted people will nourish and cherish themselves. They'll make sure if they're sick, they take care of them, they take their vitamin, they will eat so that they are not faint. They will cherish and nourish themselves. So as the Lord nourishes and cherishes the church, so the husband is to nourish and cherish his own wife as his own body. The wife is the husband's other self. She is not only one flesh with him. She is his very body. And you read in 1 Corinthians, she is not her own. He has the right over her body. She has the right over his. She is flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. The two are one. Verse 30, for we are members of his, capital H, God's body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Joined to his wife, glued, cemented, not stuck, glued together. Death alone can part a husband and a wife. Nothing but death should dissolve their affection. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This is indeed a great mystery, that Christ would take us as his bride, that God the Father would delight in us enough to give us to his only Son. What a deal he got when he got us. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Nevertheless, he says, because of God's design for marriage, let every husband love his wife as himself and see that the wife respects the husband. That is very important. Respect is to men what romance is to women. Very important keys in marriage. Men want respect as much as women want romance. Remember that, ladies. The husband is to consider her part of himself. And it is by the ordinance of God. The wife is to consider him as her head. It is by the ordinance of God. We saw that in our last study. So wives are to submit to their husband, and the husbands are to love their wives. And these are supernatural abilities. Many talking about divorce, we have tried everything we could think of. What about trying the Holy Spirit? Have you tried the Holy Spirit? No. To be able to perform those supernatural ability, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need His help. If those Christian couples would be filled with the Holy Spirit, they would not fill the divorce courts. There would be fewer divorces if the husband would try as hard to keep his wife as he did to get her. It is not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. If your marriage is failing today, do not blame anybody else. Maybe you are failing to make the commitment that you need to make. God has given you the power to have a successful marriage. And He is willing to help you if you will ask Him and let Him. There are 7 kinds of marriages that you do not want. And I will close with this. 1, the marriage without a license, just living together. If you do, you cannot ask God to bless your union, nor bless your home. God cannot bless your relationship. That is contrary to His plan, contrary to His word, contrary to what He intended it to be. You're on your own. And you don't want to be on your own. Marriage without a license. 2, the impossible no-way marriage. When one person does not want to work it out.
When one does not want to change, does not care, does not want to work at it, there is no way. If one says, that's it, the impossible, no way marriage. Number three, the mind reader marriage. When you don't tell your mate, you don't let him know everything. When you don't let your mate know what's going on, no sharing, no communication, he'll figure it out. Men don't pick up clues as well as women. So share with him. Number four, you do not want the dictator doormat marriage. When one is the dictator, Hitler, and the other one is the doormat. Some even use the Bible to justify their dictatorship. That's not of God. Number five, the parent-child marriage. When one treats his wife or her husband as a child, their communication is on a parent-child level. Okay, daddy gonna let you go to the store, but you must come right back. Give me a break. Parent-child marriage do not work. Number six, you do not want the crowded marriage. When the in-laws move in, or the couple moves in with the in-laws. When a third party pulls on one of the two, one of the mates is neglected. When one mate is kid-centered and give them too much attention and the other mate is neglected, do not let anything nor anyone to crowd your marriage. God said, the two shall be one. Pay attention to the numbers. He did not say 4, 5, 6. Leave your mother, leave your father, he said. The two shall be one. And number seven, the most common type of marriage today that you do not want is the career marriage. When one of the two or maybe both are married to a career and not to a person, it cannot work as God designed it to work. Marriage nowadays means very little to the world. We Christians should be setting an example of what God intended marriage to be. It is a godly thing. So people seeing us, instead of putting down marriage, they will be able to see what God intended when He brought a man and a woman together to be husband and wife. So you, husband, begin to love your wives as Christ loves the church. Give yourselves for them, nourish them, and cherish them. And you wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. See that you respect them. If you doubt the love of God for you, you will doubt the love of your husband for you. Trust God. He loves you. And He knows what He is talking about. He knows what He is doing. It was only when He created man alone that God said it was not good. So marriage was created by God and it is good. Doing these things, there will be peace in your home. You will live a beautiful life. And with this kind of relationship existing among the parents, then the next relationship within the home, the parents-children relationship, will flow much easier. And we will see that next week. But it starts first with the parents. So let's do these things that God is asking us to do. It's for our own good. Let's do our part in our marriage relationship. Let's walk in harmony in our home. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for bringing us here today to sit with you, to hear from you, to study your word. Father, I pray that we would learn today, both husbands and wives, that we would learn to do our part. You have called us and you have given us specific orders to do what you want us to do in a marriage relationship. And we know, Lord, that if we will do our part, that you will bless our marriage relationship. We know that you love us. We know that you want the best for us. Father, we pray that today we would make the changes that we need to make in our marriage relationship. Father, I pray for the wives here today on Mother's Day that you would bless them in their home. Father, I pray that you would equip them, that you would help them to do their part. And Lord, I pray for the husbands here today that you would also, Lord, equip them to do their part. Father, I pray that they would learn today and understand the awesome responsibility that you have placed upon their shoulders. They are to go first. They are to love their wives regardless of how she behaves. We know that their love will transform them. So Father, I pray a special prayer for the husbands here today that they would believe this, that they would put this into practice today, that they would love their wives as themselves. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Knowing that it would be difficult for a man and a woman to dwell together in harmony, God tried to keep it as simple as possible. He said for the husbands to love their wives, for the wives to be in submission to their husband. Respect romance. Love submission. God keep it simple for us. We need to read these verses throughout the year. In our study through the Bible, going verse by verse, I don't know when we will come back to Ephesians. But you need to read those verses. It is simple, and yet it is difficult. Because the flesh. The flesh will not be told what to do. The flesh will want to do whatever it wants to do, whenever it wants to do. And it needs to be brought into submission. We husband must bring that thing in submission to the Lord. So it is possible to have a beautiful marriage relationship. That's what God wants for us. He loves us. He would not create something just to drive us nuts. He loves us. If we will only pay attention to what he says, believe it, and live it. And we will have a beautiful marriage relationship, beautiful harmony at home, peace and joy. Nobody would ever want to be single after being married and having a beautiful marriage relationship. So may the Lord be with you. May He pour His Holy Spirit upon each and every one of you here today. May He bless your home. May He bless your marriages. May He help you, men, to love your wives as Christ loved the church. And may He help you, wives, to be in submission to your husbands as to the Lord. May God bless your home. May He bless your marriage. May He keep you in harmony. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.